It is a very special summer episode. Lucy is not here. For those that maybe have been out of the loop, this summer is kind of our vacation summer, where Lucy has gone pretty much all of June, and I'll be gone pretty much all of July into the first bit of August. We are hoping to get the season three of The Witcher down at the end of the month. We'll have to see how that goes. But what we decided to do was have some special guests, special episodes, and even some special topics. And today, who is this with me?
Hello, everybody. It is I, Tracy, also known as Miss Magitech on the internet. I've been on a couple of previous episodes, a couple of Witcher episodes in the past, and I am happy to be back.
Yeah, I think we mentioned before you were on the previous incarnation of the
Yes,
podcast when it was just
yes,
the Book's Whispers.
yes, yes. So we go way back.
You're OG. But
Yep.
what you are here for is we are going to discuss the movie film Dungeons and Dragons : Honor Among Thieves, because I've heard and know, because you've ran a couple of games I've been involved with, you are pretty heavily involved in D&D TTRPGs.
Yes, so I have been playing a lot of D&D and TTRPGs in the past few years. That is basically all the content that I do now. And I actually so I used to stream a lot on my own, just Tracy, Miss Magitech, and I kind of transitioned to actually just streaming D&D and tabletop stuff with my friends, because that's really all I started doing. Like basically since like COVID stuff, I just streamed tabletop games all the time, and now it's just become like the main thing that I do in my free time. And I love D&D. I am very much like into the lore, specifically like the fifth edition lore, which is what this movie covers, at the Forgotten Realms and Faerûn. That's like the lore of fifth edition. And I am like so into it. So this movie in particular, it's nice because I got to see all of those like Easter eggs and things like that, and really enjoy it from like a person who has played a lot of D&D perspective.
Well, I hope you're ready to explain a lot of
Yes,
it,
I
because
am.
there's so much in here that I look at it and like the camera will hold on something, it'll show something. I'll be like,
Yep.
I bet that's an Easter egg that I don't have a fuck all clue what it is.
It's amazing. So I watched this movie with my partner, who doesn't actually also doesn't play a lot of D&D fifth edition. And I felt like that Ron Swanson meme, when he goes to Home Depot and he's like, "I know more than you." Like, I get
Oh,
to
for
kind of
sure.
flex for a bit, like
Oh,
that
yeah, no
I
doubt.
and it felt nice to flex. So I am going to do that in this episode as well,
All
just
right.
to
Well,
flex the knowledge.
would you say it was pretty faithful?
I would say yes.
Okay.
And that's also because I think the like Wizards of the Coast did have a big part in like writing the story and like coming up with like some of the plot stuff. So yeah, I think that it was pretty accurate to like the Forgotten Realms lore and fifth edition.
Forgotten Realms. So that's the world or the
Yes.
continent.
So the continent is Faerûn, is what it's called. And that is where this takes place. Forgotten Realms is like the campaign setting, I guess. That's kind of how I would describe it.
Okay, so with like something like Critical Role, that's set in different worlds, different campaign
Yes.
settings of the universe.
Yes, so
Okay.
technically Critical Role I don't think it technically isn't Forgotten Realms. It's not in the same
Did it used to be?
universe. It's so they use like the same rules, and there is some crossover. It's almost like a multiverse kind of thing,
Oh, okay.
because they have used like canon characters from like D&D in their stories. But it's more like kind of like multiverse, but Critical Role kind of is there. They have their own
It's their own
worlds.
thing with like 5e as
Yes,
the rule set.
correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yep.
All right. And also, one thing I know you've done, because you ran me, Lucy, and a couple other people through it, is the Witcher TTRPG.
Yes.
That was fun.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. And there really are. There's a lot of like other TTRPG systems out there. Obviously, D&D is one of the most popular.
I want to do an Old West one so bad.
There's got to be some good settings for.
I've seen one, and it's one of those when I saw it, I'm like, I gotta bookmark that. It's one thing, it's late at night when you're looking at your phone, and I was like, I gotta bookmark that. It was like an Old West setting, but it wasn't like a zombie. It wasn't
yeah.
like grim dark, but it was something dark. But I couldn't remember. It's like, it's not zombies.
Okay.
But it was kind of weird, but it was super Old West. And I was like, damn, I always forget about that. I need to look that up.
I'm gonna look into it too, because I'm curious.
Yeah. You've done cyberpunk also though.
Yeah, I've done a lot of cyberpunk, and I've done a decent amount of The Witcher as well. Cyberpunk is definitely my main like game that I run, Cyberpunk Red, which is the same, you know, universe as 2077, the video game. But yeah, Artel Saurine Games makes Cyberpunk and The Witcher tabletop game. And they're both awesome. They're very much more like a complex rule set than D&D. I think D&D is a great intro to tabletop games. It's a lot more
the
easy.
The Witcher combat is wild. It's really cool if you're into it, because you can try to get certain parts and then certain roles you can defend.
Yep.
But I tried looking through it. And it took me about 15 minutes. I'm like, I think I maybe have it, but there's no way in hell I'm explaining this to anybody.
I know. It's way more crunchy, honestly. And I do like that D&D makes things a bit more fluid and kind of easy to jump into. So it is a good option for newer players.
You need to get Lucy, especially Lucy, involved in that cyberpunk. She's become a cyberpunk girl
over
there. Yes,
I know. I see all of Lucy's cyberpunk content. And yes, I would love to do Cyberpunk Red with Lucy. I think she would really enjoy it.
Right on. Well, speaking of, Lucy is not here, but you are a worthy replacement, especially for this. So what say we get into Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so we open in what I call D&D Siberia. I don't know if there's a name for it, with our two heroes literally cracking ice. It is Edgin. That just does not sound right to say,
right? It doesn't
Edgin,
flow.
Edgin Darvis, played by Chris Pine. And I have to ask it, who's your favorite Chris? Because he's mine. He's mine by a mile.
Yes, I do really love Chris Pine. I would say more than Chris Evans, and then, you know, Chris Pratt. But
yeah, Chris Pratt's he always gets just thrown off. He don't count. He's not even involved anymore.
Chris Pine, I would agree. Honestly, I think Chris Pine is probably the best. And then Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pine is the best.
Chris Hemsworth seems all right, but Chris Pine, when I see him doing interviews, he just always seems like he's either having fun, or if he doesn't want to be there, he doesn't really put that off, and he kind of jokes around. I don't know. It seems like all the highlights or clips I see from him on his own seem to be real. He seems to be actually pretty jovial.
Yeah, I agree. I think I just love a lot of the stuff that he's like, even like him in Star Trek. I love.
I just watched that the other day. I love that first one.
Yep, I think he's great as Kirk. So yeah, I love Chris Pine.
He's a smooth talking. Oh, it's a bard. I should say that Edgin is a bard, and he's also with Holga Kilgore, played by Michelle Rodriguez, a barbarian.
Also a great match for this role. Honestly, she nailed it in my opinion.
Yeah, if you need somebody tough that looks mean, looks like they're going to beat the shit out of anybody at any moment, she is like dead ass casting.
Yeah. So I already have like fun lore drops for
Let's
this first opening scene.
Let's go.
Because you call it D&D Siberia, and it is a place. It's called Icewind Dale.
I've heard of that.
Yes, Icewind Dale's a pretty popular like campaign setting.
Yeah.
And the prison that they're in is actually called Revel's End. And it is an actual prison in the newer campaign setting, Icewind Dale, Rime of the Frostmaiden. And they actually made this prison. So Rime of the Frostmaiden is a module that came out in 2020. And they actually...
I think I remember your channel. Like, y'all ran through that, right?
We did. Yes. My character has been to Revel's End. I had a rogue. I had a thief who...
who got.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I've been to that prison.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
First-hand experience.
Yeah. So they actually made Revel's End for this movie. They wrote it into the module specifically for this movie, because they're like, we need a prison, let's throw it in Icewind Dale. So Revel's End was actually, so it's kind of interesting that it shows that like Wizards of the Coast knew this movie was coming out, and they were like in the writing process with it, and they specifically made this prison in one of their modules for the movie that was going to come out years later. So
yeah, because it was I know it was the film shot and wrapped all in 2021, so it came out 2 years ago. I don't know if it was delayed, I guess, a theater thing. They went in theaters.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And And Icewind Dale, the book, came out in 2020. So they had like some of that like lore stuff prepped, you know, before the movie even like finished. So kind of interesting.
Tying it in, very easy, very not maybe not easy, but very obvious to tie in something like this. When you create it, you can just move it right into.
Yep.
So one thing I noticed about this is, oh, I should say this. Edgin gives his backstory to a parole board, which involves him stealing from a red wizard, getting his wife killed, and saying Jonathan about 77 times. They're saying Jonathan all up and down. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is that? I was honestly wondering at a time. I was like, okay, does that mean anything? Is that a name from some famous character that?
It was not. Okay. No.
Jonathan. And yeah. Jonathan just throws me off because obviously you want to say Jonathan and Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The only thing is like they mentioned he's an Arakocra, which is a species, a playable species in D&D now. That's basically the eagle folk, basically. So I didn't put two and two together that he kept asking about Jonathan. It's because he wanted the eagle to break out of prison, basically.
So was Jonathan in on this? Was he?
I don't think he was. Okay. I think they just knew that, like, oh, an Arakocra is going to be at this hearing. Like, we can use his wings to bust out, basically.
All right. Well, at least it worked in the front, maybe not the back.
Yeah.
But the way this is done, as he kind of explained this, was very Witcher 2-esque. You open with the captive telling his story, and it goes back. And I love that way of like starting a story.
Agreed. I really did like it as well.
The humor in this movie, I thought, actually worked pretty well. There were some telegraph jokes. They're just like, okay, that's going to be it, especially once, you know, obviously Chris Pine's the witty bard. A lot of times it's going to be that little comic relief. But I loved when they're, you know, telling him, he's like, you know, Jonathan would really love this. And like, no, go back. He's like, all right, well, I came home to my wife. Because like, you went back too far. Quit stalling. That had me.
In general, I think this movie did pretty good with the humor. It wasn't like that was one thing where I going into it, I was like, oh, man, this is gonna be like a Marvel kind of.
It didn't try too hard.
But it didn't try too hard. Yeah, it fit well. So I agree.
And he that's Chris Pine. Like, I guarantee that's why they got him. They're like, it's going to be the smuggler S type character.
Yep.
You know, insert whatever archetype rogue. Well, he's not a rogue thing. He's a bard, I guess, in that sense. But he's a thief and something like that. And he's perfect. He still got it, despite however old he is. I don't know how old he is.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely has that wit that is needed for this role. And it wasn't too cringe.
There wasn't any part that I looked and I was like, oh.
Yeah. Agreed.
Too much. There's one thing I didn't like. We'll get to that at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives this backstory about this new life for himself and his daughter by turning to theft. They have a thieves' code. Let me say who it actually is. Forms a team with sorcerer Simon Omar, played by Justice Smith, who is American, doing his kind of British. He kind of slipped back into an American at time. I honestly thought by the end or sometime in the middle, they're like, you can drop that accent.
Yeah.
And he would have done it. I was like, oh, no, I think that might have just been him trying to do it.
Yeah.
The rogue, Forge Fitzwilliam, played by Hugh Grant, who as soon as I saw Hugh Grant on the screen, I'm like, he's the bad guy.
He's going to be the villain. Yep.
There's no way Hugh Grant is playing a supporting character who's good in this, especially if I'd known he was a rogue. And of course, his mysterious acquaintance, Sophina, played by Daisy Head, who was downright unnerving and unsettled me this whole fucking movie.
Yeah, yeah. She was another one where the minute you see her, you're like, yeah, she's probably going to be a villain as well.
Especially when it was after her eyes, though. And then she had like the balder head. Her eyes are just like, holy shit, they got that down.
Yep.
Of just creep, like staring into my soul type thing.
Yeah.
So they have this code. It's a typical thieves code of heroes. Never hurt anyone. Only rob from those who don't need it. Although I will say later on, they kind of take two horses from what I described as like these Mongolian like steppe people. And I'm like, they only had like four horses there. You just took two of them. I think they needed those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But okay, we'll overlook that. We'll overlook that one. Mm-hmm. It's also, it's one last job. He's got to do one last job here to get it. Because they're raiding this Harper stronghold. And Ed attempts to steal a resurrection tablet to bring back his wife, but Edgin and Holga are captured while Forge, Sophina, and Simon escape.
So the Harpers are also like a canon faction in D&D as well. So the minute he mentioned, he's like, I joined the Harpers, I was like, oh, cool. Like,
are they like...
So they are actually kind of good guys. So they're spies. Usually Harpers are like they're spies, but they're good spies, which is kind of interesting.
What do you mean by good? Like, what is,
yeah,
what are they trying to do?
They're actually trying to like protect the balance of things. So it's
Jedi's
like,
in here.
Yeah, a little bit. They try to like kind of preserve lore of like the world of the Forgotten Realms, and yeah, they, a lot of times they are like bards, and like I think there are a lot of bards in the Harpers, but
it's
they
easy to blend in, easy to hear stuff, yes, hanging out in taverns, singing,
exactly,
not draw attention.
But they, yeah, they definitely are. They're good and straight up good. They're not like, as far as I know, the Harpers don't have like a super evil agenda. Like maybe some of them are a little more scoundrelly because they can be bards, but
they're like cat witchers.
Yeah, almost in a way. Yeah.
I feel like not all of us, hashtag not all cat witchers.
Yeah.
Not all assassins.
So yeah, it was just cool that they also kind of another nod where it's like, oh, he's a Harper. That's pretty cool.
The Hopper. Mm-hmm. All right. So I don't know if it was just me or other people out there, but when they get into this room where they're going to take this stone and all this treasure from up top, I thought it kind of looked like a penis.
I did not even notice that.
That's probably just me.
Now I'm going to need to go back.
I'm telling you, I looked at it the first time and I'm like, nah. When I watched it again today, I paused it and I'm like, they made those balls. They look like they're balls. I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna throw that out and let's see how many guys may have thought it. And
yeah,
how many maybe women.
Yeah,
did not. And then it's like, oh yeah, Brett, of course.
Yeah, of course.
So Forge doesn't lie that he said he kept his word. He would keep Kira safe and he'd keep the stone. He didn't lie.
It's true. He didn't. But
he might have bent he's a rogue. What do you expect?
Yeah.
And he does say later on, he's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't trust the con man. The con man and this random sorceress that you find in a tavern. It's like, come on, come on, come on.
Yeah, that part I was kind of like, all right, well.
The movie has to go though, you know?
Exactly, it's true. Like, and it's honestly, like even in a D&D party, like a lot of times when you're playing D&D and you get somebody at a tavern, a mysterious person, like the D&D party is always going to question it. But it's like, come on guys, we gotta move the plot along here.
Oh my God. Okay, so I didn't explain, if anybody new is listening, I didn't explain my thing. While it sounds like I'm a dead ass, complete noob to D&D, I have ran a mini Witcher campaign. Mm-hmm. I've ran some one shots and all that. And my God, when running a one shot, and you're right, you get in there and they just start every little thing. I'm like, guys, in my head, I'm like, it's one shot.
I know.
We go over here? I'm like, you can. I'll go over there. Nothing. I'm going to look in the window. Nobody's in there.
I feel your pain, honestly. It is especially hard when running a campaign that has limited time. But even when you don't have limited time, it's like sometimes your players just do shit and you're like, please, can we move this along here?
Yeah, like so, the time I didn't even bring up this like church and they want to go see it. I'm like, okay, the guy is supposed to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't get in. They bust the door down and then they borderline like assault the priest. And I'm like, oh my God. In my head, I'm like, do I want to end this? Do I want a town guard to just roll in, murk these motherfuckers in our one shot last 90 minutes?
I feel that to my core. I truly do.
Yeah. All right. So they escaped the prison years later. But I did like that they approved the pardon, that his story works.
Yes. And then, yeah, he
could have walked out.
He could have walked out rather than, flying on this Aarakocra. And by the way, like, I've played in Icewind Dale before. It is a frozen tundra, and they kind of just, again,
just
for the
away.
Movie, for the movie, they have to say, I'm like, man, we had to, like, my campaign was like a whole survival campaign where we had to like hunt for food and like survive in the cold and everything. And I'm like,
survival checks.
Exactly. And they just kind of, oh yeah, we made it out
it's
of Icewind Dale.
They run away and they go to the steps. As I mentioned, they steal those two horses. And we get what I'm sure you were super excited in, and which you might have paused frame by frame. We get the map intro, which I love.
Yes.
I love a good fantasy map.
I know. And yes, they did. They showed the Icewind Dale, and they showed the whole Sword Coast for Faerun. I agree. I loved that.
See, all that stuff I've heard of, but obviously I don't know the specifics. It would always be somewhere in the book. Oh, the books are behind the Witcher books behind me. And one other thing that got mentioned, because that might have been the first thing I've ever heard of, because back when I was working at Best Buy, And yeah, kids, ask your parents about Best Buy. Actually, I think they're still open. I remember a game that came out, and it was Neverwinter Nights. And I was like, what the hell is this nerd shit? And just, kind of, it's like, because I didn't know what the hell it was. But I remember Neverwinter Nights, and they learn, the two escape, and they learn that Forge has become Lord of Neverwinter, which is a hell of a thing to get in under 2 years.
Yep, I know.
So
Pretty sus.
is Neverwinter, is it a city? Is it an
Yes.
area?
It
Okay.
is a city. It's one of the biggest cities in the Sword Coast, again in Faerûn. And it is, yeah, it's very popular. I believe the previous lord, I think they've named him was Dagult Neverember, which
Yeah,
is
that's
like
it.
the
Yeah.
yeah, and I was like, "Oh, that's actually the Lord of Neverwinter. That was a real thing too." So yes, it is a very big city in the Sword Coast.
So yes, the mentioned, was it Never Ember? Was that his name?
Yeah, yep,
All right.
Neverember.
He has become mysteriously incapacitated. Hey, it might be that weird woman next to this guy that came out of nowhere with a lot of money, but what do I know? I'm just a dumb teacher and podcaster. Forge has been taking care of Kira and has convinced her that Ed's greed and selfishness led to his arrest.
Yeah, it was kind of sad. Which, by the way, I liked that the daughter was kind of like earlier on was also like a thief, kind of like she worked with that. It was kind of a cool little thing that, she's not just like she's capable, it seems.
Yeah, he was like, we took her with her. We didn't leave her at home. And she has this, and again, it's like Chekhov's bracelet of invisibility or necklace pendant of invisibility. I was like, oh, that's definitely gonna mean something if she just kind of has it. All right, so Sophina is revealed to be a red wizard, and she and Forge deliberately orchestrated their capture, and Sophia attempts to have Ed and Holga executed, but they escape. I love this little executioner that he has this axe and he just shoot, and it extends like with a quick, almost like quick release. I'm like, that definitely seems like anachronistic technology, but it's fantasy. I'm gonna allow it because it looks badass.
And I definitely was expecting this reveal, by the way, of her being a red wizard. She fits all of the marks of a red wizard of Thay,
Covering
which
everything up too.
yep.
Okay.
A lot of the like, so the red wizards are also again canon to D&D. They're very well known. They're very notorious. They are a cult, basically. And a lot of the like high priests and stuff, they do have those like shaved heads. A lot of the female priests shave their heads. So the minute they revealed, I was like, yep, she's a red wizard. And it's yeah, so it was again very cool to see the Red Wizards of Thay also make an appearance in this movie, because they are very well known in the canon lore as well.
Are they usually like big bads at the end?
Yes, they often are. They're pretty much like evil cults, typical evil cult. They serve an evil guy who gets mentioned later when we get into it. I'll get more into him, but yeah, they are pretty evil.
All right, so they decide to rob Forge's vaults and bring Kira home with them during the upcoming High Sun Games at the stadium. Is this something?
So I actually hadn't heard of it. Myself personally, like I thought maybe it could have been to one of the gods. I think it's Lathander, who's like the god of the morning and the sun. And I was like, oh, maybe like, but they didn't like name drop the god or anything. So this might have been something more generic. But I hadn't heard of it personally in my D&D findings.
Okay, well, damn, I was gonna have some questions because it seems like it's voluntary, but why the fuck are people volunteering? And then later on, Ed says the last time he went to the last one before and everybody died before the end. So is it like a fucking Squid Games kind of thing where it's like, hey, take the most poor peasants?
I haven't really, I don't know too much about it. It might have been something that was made for this movie, but
I did say they were making a show. Was it to Paramount Plus? I think earlier this year, like in January, they greenlit or they put forth like an 8-episode tie-in, not to this, but like to the universe. But I wonder now with the writer's strike,
if
that
that,
might delay it. Which is interesting too, because like most things, I know you can always take a movie and say, oh, that can be better as a series, and you can only do that, vice versa, blah, blah, blah. But this is something obviously there's so much you can do and deal with that it would be good as a series kind of to, really hash it out. But I know, have you watched that, the Vox Machina?
I did, yes.
Okay. Is that kind of, it's just a group?
Yes, it is just like their, it honestly, it follows a lot of their actual story that they played live on Critical Role, just in animated form. Obviously, some of it kind of sped up, but it's just like their party.
Oh, like
They,
what they did in the campaign.
yeah, what they did in the campaign.
Okay.
And it's actually really good. I really enjoyed it.
I need to watch this. It's only 30-minute episodes, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty quick watch. I think they have two seasons now, and yeah, you'll probably watch it pretty quickly.
It's hard for me to binge anymore.
Really? I'm a binger straight up.
I used to be, but it just I'd get carried away with it, and now it's almost like I hold myself back because I know if I do, I'll go down the rabbit hole. Although it's the summer, I got nothing, fuck all else to do.
I prefer it personally because I can just remember everything that's happening and I don't like forget things when I'm watching. So I prefer it personally. But
You know,
yeah,
that could be a
Fox.
treadmill show. That could be a treadmill show idea.
It's pretty quick. You'll watch it pretty quickly.
Seems like a lot of very, you know, it's anime, so it's obviously going to be very distracting. That'll help too. Because that's the easiest way if you're on a treadmill is get something to watch that distracts you, and next thing you know, time will
It's
fly by.
been 2.5 hours and you're on the treadmill
There you
and you
go.
got your steps in.
All right, so now it's time to get the gang back together. First, they track down Simon to help. And he suggests also recruiting Doric, a tiefling druid who once rejected him romantically. I've got a couple questions, especially about tieflings and everything that goes in there. But yeah, they meet Simon, as I have down, the world's shittiest sorcerer who knows a druid. And he's messing up. And I know it's a show like, oh, he's not very good. But it's like, hold up, this dude's been with him for so long. How are they good thieves when this dude's like fucking things up? He's got
You
to be better
think
than that.
he would have leveled up a couple of times by now,
You
at
would
least.
think so. It's been 2 years.
He definitely had to have leveled up and gotten better spells.
And he's doing a candle thing and blowing fresh cut grass smell
Yeah, no
at
more
people.
cantrips. He would have some higher level spells.
You would think. But no, it's just the power of believing. All right. But yes, on to Doric, who is a tiefling druid born to humans who didn't want a tiefling. What the fuck is a tiefling?
So a tiefling is like an infernal
That sounds evil.
species. Yes, they
Okay.
yes, technically they're from like the Nine Hells, or they have a lineage traces back to usually a devil, sometimes a demon. Tieflings, yeah, they're like they have usually horns and a tail that kind of look like that devilish type. And they can spawn in any bloodline, really. If you have a family that has done dealings with a devil or a demon, you may have a tiefling in your lineage. So you could have like a great grandfather who made a deal with the devil 20 years ago, and I'm a half elf and I just married an elf and we had a tiefling, and it's like, what the heck? So it's basically like they're an infernal heritage kind of thing. And
So
they
it's
can,
like a curse?
I wouldn't call it a curse. They're just kind of like, they're just like it's more of a lineage thing, I
Are
would
they tip
say.
are they typically bad?
They can be any alignment. So they're just any other like race or species that you can play in D&D, like an elf or a half
So it's how
elf.
they're raised.
So and they come in all different forms. Like some have like blue skin, red skin. Some look more human-like, like she does. You can just basically just have horns and a tail and look really human and still be a tiefling.
Yeah,
So
I didn't notice the tail until much later in the movie. And I was like, oh, she got a tail.
People did complain at the original trailers when they saw that she was a tiefling. They're like, she just looks like a human with horns.
Yeah.
Because tiefling can look more like devilish and things like that. And she didn't really have those features. But honestly, tieflings can come in any like shape and size. So
Any shape and size. Well, apparently, because she is a druid, she can be an owlbear, and I was like, holy shit, that thing is fucking awesome. That's my new favorite like animal or anything in all this is a goddamn owlbear.
I love owlbears. That was another point of contention that people were like mad about, because technically druids can't shape into owlbears in like the actual mechanics, but it's really cool. And
Is it because it's
it's
not an animal?
yeah, it's more of a monster. It
Oh,
technically
can you play as an owlbear?
No.
Oh, boo.
Technically, they are like monstrosities that you would fight.
They're like, so they're sentient, but they're not intelligent.
They technically aren't even sentient. They're just like any other like wild creature that you would find in the wild.
Really?
But yeah, they're technically not a druid wild shape mechanically, but I still think it's cool that she shifted into an owlbear.
Yeah, I think that was them doing Rule of Cool and being like,
yes.
this looks awesome. And it did. Me, who doesn't know, isn't going to give a shit about that and just be
Yeah.
like, that thing's badass. Another thing I really liked too, I loved the armor in this movie. This might be of anything I may have ever watched, like actual knight plate armor. This
Yes.
might have been my favorite. All the different ones they had the sallets and all the different like visors and whatnot. The paladin that comes up later, Zenk, his fucking armor was badass. Like, it looked good. It didn't look like it was 3D printed.
Yes.
And it just, I don't know, it's the best I've ever liked any kind of armor in a movie or show. I think maybe of anything I've seen.
I agree. Just like the costume design in general was actually quite good for a fantasy setting film. I think they did a really good job with that.
They did. So she beats up these guards. She beats up, kills them, basically. Saves these people. I forgot to write down. Emerald
The
something.
Emerald Enclave,
Emerald Enclave.
another canon faction like the Harpers.
Freedom Fighters is what they
Yes.
sound like. Okay.
Yep,
A
peaceful druid people.
against Neverwinter specifically, or is it just against this guy in the movie because he
I think
Forge had taken over?
just him in particular. They'll anybody who like is like upsetting the balance, basically, and he's one of them.
The balance, balance.
Nature.
So Doric infiltrates Forge's castle by animal shapeshifting and finds the vault has magical defenses from Mordenkainen. I
Yep.
think I said that right.
Yes, he
Which
did.
Simon declares he lacks the power to disable. Which of course we get the joke. Just fix it. Fix it with magic. He's like, oh, here we go
Yes.
again. You can't just do anything with magic.
Yes, which is true. you can't just fix everything. But I kind of like that that's something a like barbarian would say.
It's something I would say. If I fucking wizard a witch and they're doing all this crazy shit, I'm like, well, just do it. Well, I can't just do it. What do you mean? It's fucking magic. Just conjure up something.
Also love the Mordenkainen name drop. He is like a celebrity in D&D world, like one of the most
Is
powerful wizards of all time.
he
So
alive or?
he is alive, yes. And he travels the multiverses, basically. Very powerful wizard. One of the books that D&D wrote is named after him. Like he's kind of a
Is
big deal.
he good?
He
Bad?
is good. Yes, he's a good
Oh.
wizard.
Well, good for him, except this door that he's got. As she is escaping, get another thing in here. This escape scene, as Doric's escaping, changing into the mouse, and then the hawk. This was awesome.
I
It's
love this.
done as like one continuous shot. You're following at times, like in front of her, kind of Crash Bandicoot style. And then behind, but I love the goofiness of the knights all trying to jump on the mouse, trying to get it. The who you have, not Sabrina. What the hell's her name? The sorceress, Sophina. Sophina
Yes.
does like this shriek, the scream, her eyes, and then it takes off. And then she's with that thing. What do those goofy animals look like? A chocobo.
The axe beaks. Yes. I
Okay.
think, yeah.
And that one got hit.
I
Aww.
know. Yeah.
I'd like to think that that one knew what was going on and jumped, took the bullet for her.
He was a hero.
Know what it was. And then she ends as a deer, which was a joke
Yes.
before that came up. So you did turn into a deer. It's like only at the end. But I thought that scene was just awesome. Like that's the shit I want to see in a fantasy movie. Like what they did, that's something you won't see anywhere else. I absolutely loved it. Rewound it and watched it again the first time.
I also love, like, honestly, this is something funny about like playing like thieves in a D&D game. One of my DMs told me a long time ago. He's like, you should when I we were actually playing like a thief campaign where we all played thieves, and he was like, you should play a druid. And I was like, a druid thief? Like, but believe it or not, like Druid thieves are actually really useful because they can shapeshift. They can shift into animals like a mouse or a fly
and a worm.
And sneak in and infiltrate things. And that's really useful. And that is exactly what she did in this. She was able to infiltrate because she can change into all these animals. And so I agree. I loved watching that scene. It was really cool. And druids are pretty good thieves.
Yeah, but druid, when you play, like you start out at level one or level two, mm-hmm. you can't turn into any kind of animal, can you?
Yes. And
oh, you can?
Yeah, or oh, no, geez. Sorry, you can't.
Okay.
You're correct in that you can't change into anything right at level one. There is like limited, like usually it's like smaller creatures. And as you level up, you can turn into a bear or something. But you usually start with smaller creatures. And you also have a limited amount of wild shapes that you can do before you need to rest. Usually it's very limited. So again, she was like, she kept shifting again for the movie and for the story, but it's like
level 20 up in here.
Yeah. Technically you probably only have like two wild shapes that you can do, but that's fine.
Oh, she was a mouse into a hawk, yep. into a cat, a little kitty.
Yep.
That crashed through the chimney.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I forgot. I got Baldur's Gate 3 back in like early release, like 3 years ago. I'm going to play a druid when that finally gets in.
You should, because I think the Emerald Enclave druids are actually in Baldur's Gate 3. So
now I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at this documentary right here. I'm learning so much.
Right? I'm just, as I said, I was ready to give you all of this knowledge.
That's what this movie was, a documentary. You're the supplementary, like the appendices, or you're the Cimmerillion to whatever it is. I'm just like, hey, I got all these questions in here. All right, where were we? They track down Simon. Doran Hiltrink. Simon proposes that a magic relic, the Helm of Disjunction. I also love how wonderfully D&D or fantasy this is, where it's like, oh, we have a dead end. Well, actually, there's this one MacGuffin that we need to get. And someone just happens to know where it is. But this Helm of Disjunction could disable them. So they travel to an old graveyard to ask Holga's ancestors where to find it. And we get this very, I thought it was very humorous, because they didn't do it too long. They did it just enough to not wear out its welcome. Like, there's five questions. Why is it five questions? I don't really know. It's kind of arbitrary. It's like, yeah, it kind of is, isn't it? Okay, let's move on now.
Yes. That was the most, the five questions is the next scene, right? Where they actually ask the,
they go to the graveyard. Yeah.
Yes. That was the most like D&D thing, to have those to like ask five questions and they're not actually like useful questions.
The first guy they talk to is just a comedy of errors.
Yes.
He's like, God damn it. Okay, get the shovel. And then they have to go through and they lead to somebody else. Okay, we'll go to the brother .. And they go to him. It's like, no, that's my brother. I'm this. Mm-hmm. And just the frustration that he has. It's so funny.
It's so good.
All right, so we get this somewhere around here. Bradley Cooper's cameo. Yeah. Did you know about it when you watched it?
No, did not.
Oh, my God. I'm literally on the treadmill. I'm watching, and I look, and I'm like, oh, my God, is that Bradley Cooper? I'm like, I look and just, I'm like, no, that's not him. This would have come out. I would have heard. I'm like, that's someone that looks like Bradley Cooper. Because there's like two or three working actresses right now that look so much like Margot Robbie. And I'm like, this is someone who looks like Bradley Cooper. But then he starts talking and you see his facial expressions. I'm like, that's fucking Bradley Cooper. What the hell is going on?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I did not know either. And it took me also a hot minute to realize that it was Bradley Cooper. And he has like the funniest cameo, because he's either a halfling or a gnome. I wasn't quite sure which of the small folk he was.
I forgot his name. I was so distracted.
It was honestly so funny.
He says he's about 3 feet tall. Halfling is what this says.
Okay, he's a halfling. A
Polygon article. So, sure. We'll call him a halfling.
Yeah. And it was like a very comedic scene in a lot of ways, because it's like he is a halfling dating a big woman barbarian. Like,
yeah, you get that. Bigger than Holga.
Yes. Clearly he has a type, because
he upgraded at that. He's got a little thing, doesn't he? No kink shaming. No kink shaming.
No.
All right, I did see this during post-production. Bradley Cooper was cast in a cameo role. He filmed his part on blue screen and was inserted into pre-existing footage with Michelle Rodriguez. So she didn't, there was no interaction there when she did that scene.
That's so bizarre. Yeah.
It is so weird to me. But it makes sense when you think about it, when you're on a set and me and Lucy just came back from, we went to that Dallas Fan Con or Expo, Fan Expo, whatever it was. And so a couple things I like got into the prequel movies because Hayden Christensen was there. I watched some videos and just all that blue screen shit. And I just look at it and I just think of how goddamn hard it is. And this right here where like the movie's wrapped up and they're like, hey, Bradley Cooper, come do this. And he kind of reads about his character, reads what he's supposed to say, and then just does it. And he has no idea, I'm sure, what's going to be on the other side. But he just goes in there, does it, and then look at it on film. It looks seamless. It's amazing to me.
That is wild.
But it's been done since like the goddamn 19-teens and 20s. And my, you know, pea brain self is just like, oh my God, how can they have two people at different places talking?
Yeah, I'm like, where's the chemistry of the interaction? But I had no idea. So I guess it worked well for the scene.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of figured something would have to be done with him because he was really small.
Tiny, like, yeah, yeah.
Unless they did that Lord of the Rings stuff with Gandalf.
Like the perspective.
Perspective change. That shit's wild.
Yeah.
Wild how they did all that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Simon resurrects the dead with talisman long enough for them to answer these five questions. Corpses reveal that they gave the helm to Zenk Yandar, a paladin. So we've almost got all of the classes covered. We didn't get any
Ranger.
Ranger. Was there another main one that we didn't get? Cleric? No one's a cleric.
No cleric,
right?
You're right. I feel like there's a few that, but there technically wasn't any rogue, even though like they're all kind of thievy.
It said in the thing that Forge is a rogue.
Oh, right.
Forge is a rogue.
Yes,
yeah.
He is a rogue. Yeah. So you're right. We did get a lot of the classes.
No ranger, though. I guess because people play them enough that they'll be like, we don't need a woods. Don't need a woodsman or a woodswoman. But he's paladin who fled the country of Fae when red wizards turned his people into an undead army. So that thing, I was like, okay. And I think it might have been later on where as he's running from them, they mark him. But he doesn't ever get involved with them. Is that kind of what it is?
It's like he doesn't fully get pulled in. He's like right at the edge of being like pulled into their necromancy stuff. But he would manage to escape. So he has the mark signifying that like he almost was brought to this, but he was able to escape.
I did see something also that said that he ages more slowly now because of that.
Yeah.
Is that something red wizards do?
They are necromancers. So they deal with like living forever and like the undead. They're undead basically. So it makes sense that he was kind of like half in it and escaped, that maybe, you know, those were the effects from, you know, him running away from it.
Okay. Well, they leave one of these corpses alive, not having asked it the five full questions. And we'll come back to that, the mid credit scene. All right, so Zenk, played by, and I didn't look, Rej Zon Page.
I too have a hard time pronouncing.
He's British, so I'm like, well, it's not like Rege. Is it like, maybe it's like Rege Zon Page or something like that. This guy seems to be most notable from Bridgerton.
Yes.
And it might be where I've noticed him from, because as soon as I saw him, like, I recognize that guy.
Yep.
But I don't know what from.
Yeah, he's swoonable.
He's annoyingly handsome.
He really is.
Handsome and so British.
Yep.
God. But he's my favorite person also in this movie, my favorite character. I was sad that he did not last very long.
Same. When I saw the previews and stuff, I thought he was going to have a bigger role and basically be part of the party, but he wasn't.
Most of what I see, he's in like all of it. In the party. So maybe they're trying to get that Bridgerton cachet.
Yep. Get all the ladies to get to see.
I know Lucy will remember him because she actually talked about, oh, I hope she does that. You know what? Cut that. No. So he forces Ed to swear to distribute any gained booty to the people. I think he calls it booty too. I'm like, is he a pirate? He's like a pirate paladin. He's like, ill-gotten booty. Okay.
Yeah.
And he guides this group through the Underdark to retrieve the helm. Now, there's something, and I forgot to look it up, in Dragon Age, What is that in Dragon Age? That's the under.
Yes. There is a subterranean location in Dragon Age that also escapes me.
I'm going to type it in. Deep Roads. Is it just the Deep Roads?
Is it?
I remember that being it, but I thought it was called Under Dark. No, that's what this is. Fuck.
Yeah.
I thought something else. There was something I remember in the Inquisition that you had to close up or things were coming out of it. And I thought it was just underground.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Is it just called Underground?
Maybe it is.
I do remember Deep Roads because that was one of the things on the map that I saw.
Yep. But there is subterranean stuff like in Dragon Age, but the Underdark 2 in D&D is like an entire subterranean land that you
can
explore.
Cities there they have.
They're cities. It's very dangerous. There's a lot of like creatures and things. There's like a lot of what is it? Like bioluminescent mushrooms and things like that. Fungus that grow in the Underdark as well.
Bunch of weird shit.
Yeah.
I did skip when we're introduced to Zenk. He's rescuing this little kitty child. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
This little kitty.
I forgot about that too. The little the tabaxi is what they're called.
Tabaxi. I was like, I know they're not called like kitty people.
Yeah, the cat folk. Yeah, the tabaxi. That was I was like, oh my gosh, this man.
Oh my god, the little and not Khajiit, that's Skyrim. I did say Khajiit at first. I was like, hey, little Khajiit. Yeah, no, that's Skyrim.
Yeah, tabaxi.
But they showed in that scene this big fish on there, and this woman, this like cat woman who's dressed is like mad. Or like crying, I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And he just yanks this little kitty, and they're dressed in clothes.
I know. It was very sweet.
Okay, I want to see more. Can you play as a tabaxi?
You can play as a tabaxi, yes.
Ooh, mm-hmm. A tabaxi? Yep. Maybe you can't play as a tabaxi in Baldur's Gate 3. I need to check that out.
They haven't dropped that yet.
Damn,
maybe they will.
Tabaxi druid.
Yeah.
Rogue.
Yeah, ooh. There you go.
A kitty that can turn into anything else.
Yeah, right.
it's just gonna be a little kitty. The backstory there, we have this red wizard wants to do bad things, red mist of beckoning death, and Zaz Tam, that's the person in charge.
Mm-hmm. He's the head honcho of the red wizards. He's also a lich. They don't name drop that, or like they don't say that he's a lich in this movie at all, which I thought was interesting because I'm like, I feel like people would be like, oh shit, he's a lich. But but he is definitely powerful and evil and a necromancer.
So I know a lich from Warcraft, like the Lich King. What exactly is a lich?
A lich is like an undead being, a very powerful undead being in D&D. They can they basically need to collect souls and fill a phylactery to stay alive forever, and it's usually like wizards usually become liches. They want to live forever. They don't want to die. They want never-ending knowledge or whatever it is, and so they find souls and put them into their little phylactery, whatever it is they want to create, and that helps them live forever. And they
it's
do like
magical
necromancy.
Vampires. Like instead of blood, they do souls.
Somewhat like that, yes. Yes.
Are they good vampires like Regis, and they don't need it? They just get drunk off the souls?
And I don't think there's actually any good liches, because you have to like take people's souls, and
it's pretty finite right there.
And you like there's no like good way of doing it, so you basically have to like become evil to do it.
What if you worked at an old folks home, and like right as someone was about to die, you're like, oh, let me in on that?
Yeah, but is that still right? I mean, it's
what
still...
if they agree to it? What if you exploit them and you say, hey, I'll give your kids a bunch of money if you let me take your soul? That's okay, right?
I still think that's on, like, if you're looking at an alignment chart, that's
know,
like
I'm
an
kidding.
Evil.
I know.
No.
I'm an American lich. You're like, no, I don't think it's like, no, what I'm saying is basically, yes, like paying people off for their organs. Like what Elon Musk is eventually going to do.
Yes. I
convince people
now process this.
to do that. All right. So, with the help of this teleportation staff obtained from Holga's halfling ex husband, they obtain this relic, but they're attacked by Thane assassins set by Sophina. But before then, we get these Roknon intellect devours, those little brains walking around.
Yes.
Okay, I just have it as a gross-ass brain monster, which, again, does a very funny. You know, this is one of my favorite jokes on The Simpsons, is one where the zombies are taken. They're like, brains, brains. And Homer goes, take me, not my family. And they like knock on his head. Like, dunk, 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 dunk. They're like, brains. Like, he's so dumb. And they kind of do this here where they're kind of around Zank. They're like, oh, and then they just go right on by the gang.
I was ready for that to be a whole scene of them like fighting these little intellect of ours. And they just walked right past. So
they just walked right on by. Nope, no intelligence here.
Yep, that was pretty funny.
Which is really bad for the sorcerer, because the barbarian, yes. The druid, I guess maybe, who the hell knows. And the bard, whatever, they can just be a bullshitter. Mm-hmm. But for the sorcerer, it's like, oh no.
You kind of need high intelligence. Yeah.
You're dumb. No wonder you're bad. Yeah, he's like, no, I'm bad. You can't attune the helm. He just holds up his character sheet. No, I'm 10 intelligence. Yeah. I can't do it. This bridge joke I thought was also very funny, that he's leading up what they have to do. He's like, oh, it's simple. He gets into this convoluted thing. And then in a very Fellowship Gandalf Merry, fucking sorcerer, whatever his name was, Simon, steps on it, ruins it all, and Zink just looks at him like Gandalf, and I kept expecting him to say, why don't you throw yourself off, you fool of a Took.
Yeah, fool of a Took.
Fool of a Took.
Yeah. Oh my god. Again, once again, this was again one of those scenes that is like so D&D, because I'm a person who hates puzzles in D&D. I cannot stand them. When
none at
a
all?
Puzzle.
Not even like one a session?
If there's a small puzzle, I don't mind it. But if it's something that's going to take us like 30 minutes.
You have to go
like,
ask around and figure. Yeah.
I get very frustrated very
Wait,
quickly.
Did you do any puzzles in the one shot you ran for us? I don't think.
Was there? I don't think I had any puzzles.
I just know that I played a himbo.
You did.
And I think I kept trying to like handcuff a ghost or punch a ghost.
Yeah, you guys, oh my gosh, yeah, you were just trying to solve a murder or solve a whole mystery there. And no puzzles,
there you go. Okay, well, in case if somehow I'm ever running a one shot this year, I'll remember no puzzles, or it'll be like a dumb, it'll be jokey where I set up a big thing, then I'm like, oh yeah, the person's right in the corner.
Yeah.
To do it. We also get something that saves the movie, a hither thither staff.
Yes.
Is that actually a thing?
Not an item I've ever heard of, also.
Seems very cheating.
Yes. Yeah. So that might be an invented one.
I would think so too, because it would seem like once you have that 500 feet, I think it said, or 500 yards, or I think it was feet, right?
Yeah.
500 feet, and you just get a magic little teleportation.
Yeah, they're thinking with portals. Yeah. It was there you basically go. That.
All right, so with, attacked by a thing, assassin sent by Sophina, Zink fights off the assassins and helps the group escape from Thimberchod, an obese dragon.
Yes.
and then they leave. Before we get to that dragon, Zink decides to kill all these motherfuckers. He's a badass. This detachable sword that he uses to kind of throw it, like, it's got like a little quick release button that he hits one and then puts it back in. He's badass. He's a fucking paladin. I know paladin is something very, very normie like to play, but goddamn, he looks like a badass. And I would think if I got to pick anything in this universe to be in real life, I was like, I got to be a fucking paladin.
Yeah. And it was wild because he just took them all on by himself. I was like,
he's like,
ready
I got
for
it.
Like roll initiative, everybody. It's a full combat.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, no, it was just him. He just took them all out. So
I do love
really awesome.
Also that Ed never fucking fights.
Yeah.
Not until the end. He does at the very, very end where he tries to do a couple things, but he's never fucking in there. Earlier when they're about to get executed, fucking Holga's doing everything and he's songing up going, yeah, we got him now. Yeah.
Nope. It's very bard. I love that.
So bards, though, they heal, right?
They heal. Yeah, they're basically support. They can buff
okay.
and heal.
Heal and
yeah.
buff. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, if he's giving them go, let's go. That's the inspiration that I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He can do. But yeah, Zank's detachable sword is fucking awesome. That would be something I would like to get in a game there. But yeah, to beat the shit out of all them. He kills, if you will. I guess he can't really kill them, these red wizards.
Yeah,
not like this.
Necromancy, undead, they can just come back.
How do you kill them? There's got to be some way, a Morgul blade or something.
Yeah, probably something. Yeah, in Thay, Saztam, maybe his phylactery or something, if it's his army, like his undead army.
Oh, something like personal.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this Thimberchod, this like fat dragon, is this a normal? This is like a red dragon that's just big?
It is not normal to see a extremely chonky dragon like this.
That ate his former den?
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. And it was kind of a cool twist for the movie, too, because, again, it's Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, and you see the eyes, and I'm like, oh, my God, a Balrog. Yep. This is their Balrog. Yeah. Like, shit's about to hit the fan. And it kept coming. I'm like, oh, a dragon. And then it just kept coming and knocking out the sides. I'm like, oh, okay, it's a fat dragon.
This chonky dragon. Like, you're expecting, like, a Smaug, like, an epic, yeah. like, and it's just this big dragon that could barely keep itself up to fly. I thought that was amazing and
did
hilarious.
It get trapped? It stuck? Or did it, because they busted out the water.
Yes.
So did it just drown?
It probably just got stuck, honestly.
But
I
didn't they
say.
Open up the water though to swim out?
Good point.
So it flooded. So if he's stuck.
Yeah, he might not make it.
He might not make it, which
Bumbertron. No. Bumbertron. D&D Wizards of the Coast made a figure for him that you can use. So if you want your own chonky dragon for your campaigns, you can buy it.
Do you think her little like dragon babies came up and snuggled next to their dead mother?
Oh no.
I will not spoil. You know what? Fuck it. I don't give a shit. I'm playing God of War Ragnarok. Okay. And there is a scene. And again, whatever. I kind of alluded to what it is. Skip ahead like 30 seconds, 45 seconds. There's no story spoiler. There's a scene where you have to fight a bear. And you have to kill a bear.
In the beginning, right?
Yeah. Have you played it?
My housemate played it
okay.
in our living room. And
do you
I was
remember
like,
this?
I watched some of the scene, but I was like, I know this is sad, so
dude,
I'm leaving.
You have to kill this bear.
Yeah.
And then when you come back, two fucking little baby bears are like pawing at it and like growling at you. I'm like, I hate this game. I'm done.
Yeah.
Fuck this shit.
Yeah. I heard that scene is very sad, which is why I'm like,
it's
I'm leaving.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I hope those bears come back and kill us. If they come back and we have to fight them, I'm going to let them kill me and I'm going to end the game and never play it again.
Oh my God.
And that's canon in my fucking world.
They tug at your heartstrings.
God, but like the one is like little growling, dude. The other one is like pawing and like nuzzling. I'm like, fuck you. You don't have to do that game. You don't have to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're back. All right. So they leave. They escape. Zenk like just leaves them. And I got so upset when he's like, all right, this is where I go. I'm like, no, dude, you're the best fucking part of this movie.
Agreed. I wanted him to stay till the end. I had no idea he was going to have this short of an arc in the movie.
He is too OP, though. Like, he's way too.
This is true. He's definitely, like, a higher level NPC.
And he's a paladin, too. Doesn't that play into, like... If it's quote like not their fight, if it's their kind of fight, if it's not your fight kind of thing, how does that work?
Technically, yeah, paladins do, and this is like something.
They seem very rigid, I should say.
Yes, they do have to swear an oath, and you have to kind of uphold that oath, or you like could potentially lose your power from your divine god,
or the DM.
So yes, the DM, the divine god.
The divine god. There you go.
So yes, I guess it kind of makes sense story-wise.
I did like cracking up at this where he's just walking away. It's excellent direction. It's excellent delivery. It's straight from behind. You get Chris Pine talking. It's like, he just walks so straight. Just like, man, oh, there's a rock. Oh, what's he going to do? Oh, he's going to go right over it.
He walks right over it. I was like, okay, so he is an NPC, basically. Yeah.
And maybe that was the joke. They're just like, he shows up, saves the day.
Yep.
And then just walks straight.
Just
but him
leaves.
Just going right over that rock. I'm like, oh, God damn, that is so well done. Well directed.
Yeah.
Well done. All right. So Simon has trouble mastering this helm's power. And so they decide to use a staff to enter the vault during the games. All right. When you attune something in D&D, what all does it entangle?
Yeah. Entail.
There you go. It's like, it's not entangle. What the fuck? Entail. I'm on my second tequila.
I love that Yehu, for you.
So, I know. The mispronunciations are going to come rapidly now.
So when you get an item in D&D, yes, you do. Like, you can't just a magical item. You can't just use it immediately. You have to attune to it, which basically just means you equip it, and it takes usually a long rest for you to fully understand the abilities and be able to actually use it. So it kind of is just a way to you understand what this is, what its power is. You harness its power. You take that time to learn it. And mechanically it helps. So it's not like you can just pick up any magical item and just use it right away. And also in D&D, you can only have three magical items at once to attune to.
That seems so arbitrary.
You can't
like
have
five
like
questions.
You can't have infinite magical items at your disposal. You can only have three active at a time, basically.
By the gods of will, the holy trinity of magagically attuned. So you don't have to go through a trial like poor Simon has to do here, getting the shit kicked out of him by his ancestors.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. Not necessarily. Some items are sentient and that stuff like that does happen. But yeah.
I love that it's instantaneous too, that at first we see him put it on and like freezes time and he does it and then it launches him. And the next time he just and like just gets thrown away. It's like, that is how it works. I like how they did that too.
Yeah.
So this the attuning it, he can't do it. He has no confidence. It's his least attractive quality, as mentioned by everybody before. He's taken to the shorts left and right. Ed also learns that maybe he should learn to let some things go, as his wife tells him. And as Zink mentioned also earlier, where it's, oh, she's gone. Well, we have different lives. We have different planes of existence. Maybe she's got something new going on that you could rip her away from. A little bit planting the seed again.
Yeah, exactly.
Of a story coming in. But again, it's more or less his arc is at this time, you know, there's been a lot that happens and a lot of characters that they do have to keep their own individual little motivations and arcs going.
Yep.
Before they get going, they kind of have a little falling out and where they kind of blame Ed, you know, for bullshitting them in that sense and blah, blah, blah. And I do really like this because the athlete in me has to understand the coach in me, that I'll always be a coach, is about like failing and like you have to fail. And if you're trying to do something, unless it ends and it's a finite thing, as long as you don't stop trying it, you're not really failing. You know, you're always learning from it, trying to do that. It's only when you quit on something that you actually fail.
And I like that it's the bard that is the one to kind of get them together and also like rally them in that sense, because you're like bards are very much about that charisma and rallying people. Like even in the mechanics, they are like inspiring leaders. That is something that they can do, and they can kind of rally people together. So it's like, yes, they were mad at him because it's like, oh well, you know, this isn't working and we're gonna fail and this whole plan is not gonna work. But it, I don't know, it's kind of cool that the bard, you know, maybe almost broke them up, but also kind of brings them back together.
He inspires them, yep. Simon. It's only you holding yourself back.
Yep.
All right, so Simon and Holga infiltrate this. Did I say that they're going to use the staff to go to the enter the vault during the games? If I didn't, I just did there. But that's kind of what they're planning to do. They can't do it, so that the back... There's plan A, and then there's plan B, and then plan C becomes plan A, and plan D becomes plan B, which is a very bard kind of bullshitter thing to do, is be like, I have four plans. Aren't two of the same? No. Those don't fail. It's a new one. So they infiltrate this magically sealed door, but find the room had locked except for this magical trap. A whole lot of stuff happens to them to get in. They use the hither-thither thing in a way I still don't fully understand. They put it on that painting. They go under the thing, and then they go in it, and she goes out.
It was a little like confusing and like overly like I don't know. It's something I was like, okay, this is maybe too in depth. Like, just put the portal there and go in.
It's something that I had. I swear I had this in my notes, but apparently I don't. Did I delete some of my notes randomly again? Where this movie, more than almost anything, there's a problem coming up like every 6 minutes. That nothing can ever go right for more than like 5 or 6 minutes. And it's always something. And after a while, I'm just like, oh my, when he got his foot stuck, when they're doing the song, I'm like, oh my God, can something just go right for these poor motherfuckers one time? I'm tired of this stress and this anxiety.
Yeah, it is kind of like never ending L's for them, that they keep taking the L's. Yeah.
It's just an obstacle. And it is, it's like a God watching it. Everything is going okay. Oh, 5 minute alarm's off. Obstacle.
Yep.
Get your way out of this one. See, a lot of stuff happens there. They infiltrate that door. They find the room behind it at the magical trap. The whole group is captured and forced to participate in the games. And what the fuck is this panther monster thing.
The Displacer Beast.
Displacer Beast?
Yes, they are. They're just a very scary monster that you can fight in D&D. They are, yes, they are like a panther that have what these are, kind of tentacle-like
Yeah, what are
things.
Those tentacles? Are they, like, sensory purposes? Or?
I believe they use them for magic.
Oh, like it was putting on, it was like duplicating its own image, projecting its own image, right?
Yes. Okay. So they are, yeah, they're like, you can find displacer beasts like all over in D&D. Like, I know there are some in like the forests, there are some in like the fey realm. They're like all over the place. But they're really cool. I just love their design. I love the, like the panther with like these two like tentacle things. Like, it's just like kind of a cool design. I really like displacer beasts.
Yeah, I saw those little tentacles come up and I'm like, oh shit. And then it was a panther and I was like, oh, that's even bigger shit.
Yep.
And then these people are getting torn up in this maze, that dwarf, that woman.
I know.
Like,
those were all the other sad adventuring parties that
yeah, but maybe they wanted, that dwarf looked like he wanted to fuck some things up.
Yeah.
He knew what he was getting into.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't there as a prisoner, I think as tribute.
There was some other drops of your kind of famous monsters in D&D as well in there. The gelatinous cube.
So I recognize them because it's two well-known ones. The gelatinous cube was one. I saw that and I was like, is that gelatinous cube?
Yeah.
That I've heard. I think maybe in one thing a long time ago, someone put like a cube in a like hallway. I was like, what the fuck are we supposed to do? And someone kept saying all this stuff. I'm like, it's just a goddamn cube.
Yeah.
But apparently it burns you.
Yes. You take acid damage if you get sucked in that, and you're basically going to be disintegrated into acid if you don't get out.
For how long?
So, they think it's pretty quick.
They said like in a few minutes, she said my hand would have been like burned off.
Yes. Yeah.
How do you get out of it?
Somebody has to hopefully pull you out. You can't, I don't think you can swim out yourself.
Damn.
Once you're in, you can't get out.
Damn. All right.
You have to roll, deck saves or something.
Oh, okay.
I think. Yeah.
So Doric almost gets caught in there. Her hand does, but she doesn't get her hand. She pulls her hand out, but the bracelet that was the magic fucking dimeridium shackle. There you go.
Yeah, basically.
That version is out. So now she can do whatever she wants.
Yes.
And what was the other thing that earlier Doric opened a chest and we found a sword? But later on, I don't remember who was opening a chest. What was that chest?
Oh, gosh. The mimic.
Yeah.
Oh.
The mimic.
I hate mimics so
I
much.
I only know mimic from memes and from D&D stories about how that's what evil DMs will do, or that's what DMs will do to punish the party. We'll have a mimic chest. Because aren't they pretty high level?
They are, and they hurt. If they hurt a lot, and I think they can grapple you, so you can get stuck.
Reach in, and they just like sink into your hand.
Yeah, it's cruel because it's like you see a chest, and you're like, oh my gosh, like
the chest, let's
loot,
go,
yeah, stuff, and then it's not, and it's very frustrating.
So what if you say, so you're like, oh, you get in this room, and there's a chest, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna open that chest.
Yeah.
At that point, is it like a surprise attack?
Yep. You're screwed. You get attacked. Roll initiative.
But they get a surprise one, right? Like a
they get the surprise round. Okay. Yeah.
Oh man, I can see where that has started so many fights.
Yeah. Now it's like people have been playing D&D for years. Yeah. If they see a chest, they're always sus of every chest. Cause...
there's some people that every time they walk into a room, it's like, I want to investigate this one. Magic check. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm never gonna do anything in the room because as soon as I do it once, everybody's just gonna go in there. I'm gonna waste 2 to 3 minutes rolling all this shit.
Yes.
I'm just not going to do it. All right. I think it was earlier. I think I might have skipped over it before when I mentioned the plan C, which is Ed playing the lute as a distraction. And again, this had me fucking dying because it's celebrate lasses. You could see him like looping and then break.
Yeah.
And then it starts to melt. I'm like, oh, goddamn that. It's funny just images and how they did it.
Yeah, agreed. It was that scene was really great as well.
It's like nine hells and just touches him. Like, oh, it's the interloper or something they said. It's kind of a weird thing. But yeah, just him singing Chris Pine. I want his outfit right now. Chris Pine's out. Ed's outfit. Chris Pine.
The Bart outfit.
What he's wearing here at this. Yes.
Oh yes, it is again really good costume design for.
And there's nothing special about it. It's not flashy. He just has got really tight fitting, nice pants, mm-hmm. a nice coat that's like halfway cut off. I like that. I don't like it all the way down.
Yep.
Like it on the sides. Yeah. Goddamn. I need to get me one of them. One of them Bard little outfits.
Yep.
So the Dork discovers that Forge has loaded the treasure onto a boat and is preparing to flee. So the group steals the boat for themselves and rescues Kira from Forge. And he turns really quick, puts a knife to her throat, which, buddy, I guess the jig is up.
Yeah. Psh, messed up, man. The poor girl.
I know. The poor girl you lied to. Would you say Uncle Forge? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. His first name's Forge.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Forge. And so this, a lot of stuff starts to happen. Now they've made their escape. Oh, they've got all the loot. All's well that ends well. But they realize that Sofina has organized the games to draw a massive crowd and magically turn them into an undead army. They kind of look around, but there's not much of a discussion. They're like, wait, we're the protagonists. We're the good guys. We got to go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I like that it's kind of like, he's like, all right, well, we're trying. It wasn't like we're heroes, so we must do this. It's like, we're still kind of scoundrels, but you know what? We're good guys, so we're going to go back.
Yeah, they're looking at each other like, man, I don't want to go back, but we kind of got to, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
The script calls for it, so here we go. The group returns and transports Forge's stolen riches out of the boat with a teleportation staff, spreads them across the city, drawing the people out of the stadium before the spell takes effect. Very quick thinking, and it also satisfies his oath to Zink.
Yeah, I like how that came full circle there.
I should have mentioned that earlier. That funny that he's like, swear on this Harper's. I was gonna say Harper's Bible, but I don't know the book or.
Yeah, like an oath book, tome. I guess.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of does. He just kind of says it, and Zink is even like, I know you don't believe it, but I do. Like he doesn't buy his bullshit. He knows he's bullshitting.
And sure enough, he honored it. So.
Honored it and saves the day, but as long as Sofina's alive, there's a threat. Outraged at her defeat, Sofina attacks the group, but Simon is able to master her magic. Sofina's time stop spell fails when Simon nullifies it, allowing Kira to use an invisibility pendant they gave her as a child to put the anti-magic bracelet on Sofina. During this fight scene, there is some weird-ass lyrics going on, and it's like whispering and chanting.
I think it was probably, it was Thayan chant.
I bet it was, but like as it's going on, I'm hearing that, I'm like, this is fucking unnerving the shit out of me.
Yeah.
As well as, but it's really low.
Yeah, which kind of badass, actually. I hadn't even noticed the evil chanting in the background, the evil Thayan chanting.
I assumed it sounded evil. I don't know. Yeah. I don't judge. You know?
By the way, Time Stop is one of the most powerful spells. Not one of them. It is a very high, it's a high level. It's a ninth level spell.
I would hope so.
The highest level spell that you can cast is ninth level, and Time Stop is. So it's like, she has a ninth level spell that she's casting right now. Time Stop. That is insane.
She's the big bad.
Yeah, she is.
BBEG.
She is.
That might have been in the previous fight. I had that down as fight music. Maybe that was before they got captured. Mm. I don't know. But sometime around there, I think it was earlier when they were all kind of fighting through the thing. I don't think it was during that fight. I think it was earlier when they had that. Because this is where I have, in all caps, wizard fight. We get to Owlbear. Fucking Owlbear comes in, fucking beats the shit out of her. God damn, yep. I want more Owlbear.
Yeah. And she gets to do like a Hulk smash.
Yes.
Hulk on Loki smash of the Red Wizard.
I don't think Sofina's getting up from this or the rubble that like crushed her, because she was kind of alive, threw her against the wall, lands down again, and the rubble crushes her. I'm assuming she gone.
Yeah.
But we didn't see the body, so.
This is true. So we don't know.
But the main guy, whatever his name was, Zaztam.
Zaztam, yeah, the evil lich.
They talk about him. He's still out there, and they're like, we'll be ready. So they've left that open. Also, in that fight, there was that stone dragon that came to life that she was controlling. That was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And the two fists, Like they're fighting with the fists,
Oh,
like as each
yeah.
other, kind of doing like a rock, paper, scissors kind of thing.
Yeah. There is a spell called Bigsby's Hand, which is like you make a giant magical spectral hand. It seemed like it might have been that spell. So I was like, oh, cool,
Yeah.
too. Yeah, that was another cool
I
nod.
just thought they were gonna have a little rock, paper, scissors match, and
Yeah.
then gentlemanly and gentlewomanly, very chivalric, call it a day. So people would hit. But nope. Sylphina's quickly defeated by Dork in the owlbear form, crushed to death by the debris. But Holga is fatally injured in the battle.
This
But
is
y'all
very
remember the
sad.
stone and the tablet, don't you? I do like that they did that too. Because it was like there's no way they're gonna redo or
Yes.
am I
Bring
gonna bring
back
the wife
his
back?
wife.
And
Yeah.
then they realize, even though she's not the wife, I'm glad they didn't do that romantic angle afterwards.
Yes.
Like they never
Also
had it.
agree.
Yes. And what was I saying? Where was I? Oh yeah, the tablets bring her back to life, and Ed accepts that he only wanted to bring back his wife for his own sake. Like he did, he eventually admitted that it wasn't even really bringing back the mother; it was bringing back the wife. And Holga had become a true part of the family, especially as Kira kind of likes Holga more.
Yeah. It's their new family. And I love that family dynamic. It was different. Like she had a mother figure and a father figure, but they weren't like romantically involved, which
Yeah.
is really cool. I like their family dynamic a lot.
Yeah, it's very aunt and uncle, if you kind of
Yeah.
will, morphed kind of into that. And yep, don't got friends, got family. It's all about that. It's all Fast and Furious. They got family.
At the end of the day, it just goes back to
Goes
that.
back to that. So restore the old Lord of Neverwinter, the previously mentioned Neverfember? Never
Dagult Neverember, yes.
Ember. Never Ember? Is
Yes.
that okay?
Neverember.
Declares the team's heroes of the realms. They all get medals, like at the end of A New Hope. Even Chewie will get one
Yeah.
here. The owlbear will get one here. Goddamn owlbear better get one. And Forge is sent to Ed and Holga's old prison, the previously mentioned, what was it?
Revel's End.
To Revel's End, where he gets to try and talk his way out of it. And with no help from Jonathan, he's privy to that too. That when Jonathan gets up, tackle him and try to go out the window, but they've learned and they've blocked it.
Yeah, love that. And again, once again, all comes full circle in the
It
end.
did come back to like, oh, I remember that. I also love that he tries to give a sob story about his mother, and the guy's like, nope, 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 nope,
Nope.
nope. This is it. I should say
We've done
also
this
that
already.
that's the Spice King from Qarth in season 2 of Game of Thrones.
Is it really?
That's him.
Oh
Looks
my
the same,
gosh.
sounds exactly the same. The guy that eventually got his throat slit by Zarozan Dathos. And
Wow.
those people, yeah, the Spice King of Koth.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. And then that's it. But we get a mid-credit scene with the not dead guy.
That poor guy. I
Poor.
actually think I missed the mid-credit scene when I first watched it.
Did you?
But I think I went back and saw it. So yeah, but it was again, it wasn't like anything
No.
that, yeah, substantial.
No, he's just like, oh, I'm still here. Hello.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's going to be it. That's the movie.
Yay.
I really enjoyed it. I don't think it did well enough. I don't think it bombed, but I don't think it did well enough to really get another one. But hopefully they can take the same. But again, I do think this was so good because of one, Chris Pine, I think, carries the main cast of it. I think he's
Yes.
really good in it. The guy that plays Zink, I thought really kind of added on top of it. I thought the direction was really damn good for what it did. So I don't even know if this went to a TV show, if they could really get what I liked about it. But yeah, I'd be kind of disappointed. There's not another one of these. I don't
Yeah.
think it's likely.
It makes me sad. I think like Dungeons and Dragons is definitely like mainstream and popular now, but maybe it's also just so niche that like your average person might see it and still be like, oh, like a Dungeons and
I
Dragons
would not have
movie.
put the name in the title.
Yeah,
I would have
yeah.
said, I said this, I think I said it's to Lucy sometime before. I would have called it D&D, Honor Among Thieves.
Yeah. I think that might have pulled people away from wanting to see it.
I think anybody over the age of 50 is not going to go to the movie theater and say Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. Which I get, you're right, is sad
It
because
is.
it has an appeal where it could appeal to a wider audience. It's like it's got, I don't want to say it has the Marvel movie vibe, but it does have like it's an a fun adventure like movie that you can watch and enjoy. You don't have to know anything about D&D to enjoy it.
No, I would say this is definitely in a vein of like even like Lord of the Rings. It's not
Yes.
nearly as serious of it. This is a lot lighthearted. But I think, as you said before, it didn't go the full Marvel routes of it just being jokey, 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 jokey. When there wasn't a serious moment that I can think of now, I'm trying to think of it at the end. It wasn't, Marvel cannot go any amount of time of being serious without a joke fucking breaking it up. They just are
Yep.
physically incapable of fucking doing it because of, I think of what the audience of what they want to tune to. And like here, I don't think they did it. When it got serious for a bit, it wasn't. When they got personally serious, I should say. Now, they did do a
Yeah.
little bit where they get to the graveyard. She's like, "These are all my ancestors." And he's like,
And
"Who's got a
yeah.
shovel?" Like that,
Yeah.
but that wasn't too personal. Now, when she's dying at the end, you know, they didn't do the, "Oh, she's dead. Oh, I'm just kidding." You know, they didn't do anything like that, which thank God they didn't.
Yeah, I agree. It was actually kind of emotional when she died, and they showed like flashbacks of them like growing up together and stuff like that. So, yeah, I agree. It was good. I really liked it overall. Also, the film. I do think like yes, Chris Pine. I feel like they like spent all the budget on Chris Pine and Bridgerton guy. And like
It's a
the
little
other
bit. Hugh
like
Grant
the.
too. Hugh Grant
And
ain't
Hugh
cheap.
Grant, that's true. Like the sorcerer and the druid, and it's funny because like even their names, like I can't even like,
Doric and Simon, I
yeah,
know.
it's almost like that they're a little more forgettable, which is kind of sad because I think they had good roles and they played them well, but it wasn't like so memorable, where they like steal the show or anything like that.
Yeah, especially Doric, I think. When I watched it
Yeah.
the second time, I was like, she wasn't bad, but
Yeah.
she was just kind of there. And
Yeah.
she delivered her lines kind of there. And again,
Yep.
maybe that was the character, but at the same time, there's a lot of fucking characters to throw into a 2 hour and 15 minute, 2 hour and 20 minute movie. You had to cut course with some of them. And, you know, there wasn't anybody in the movie I can think of that just was like, ooh, they were bad or they were out of place. Everyone fit in. I just think, like you said, it's Chris Pine's the leading star, and then Bridgerton guy Zank comes in, and it's almost like, oh shit, this dude's fucking commanding the screen
Yeah.
immediately. Better get him out of the movie
Yeah.
before he
Yeah.
takes it.
Yeah. Agreed. And just overall, like they did a great like nod to so much of the D&D stuff. Obviously, as I was going through this entire thing, like pointing out all these little things that they added in, I think it
Oh
just made
shit,
it really
one thing I
yes.
forgot. When they were being led out to being executed, when they were like zoom, scrolling down the camera, fuck, I don't know. There were these two like fucking little monsters fighting over a lock, and they like kind of show them, and I'm like, that's got to be something. They wouldn't just show these two fucking things.
I'm trying to remember now what they were.
They look like two metal monsters like fighting. They had like a lock and they were like they were gonna fucking try to eat it or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. But they showed him and I'm like, okay, normally you would show two rats like fighting over a piece of meat. So they're showing these two, you know, gazorp gorps here that I'm just
Yeah.
like, it's gotta be something.
I am going to have to look it up now because now I'm curious. I can't even remember like what scene this is.
It was when they were getting led out to be executed, I believe. Oh, here you go. Blink and miss it moment. Two rust monsters are seen fighting over a metal lock. Is a rust monster a
Oh,
thing?
yes, they are
Oh,
a
okay.
5e monster. They're a little, oh man, I can't stand them also.
Yeah, I see it right here. Oh, they did not look like this. This looks
Yeah,
super fucking
I
evil.
was gonna say that's why I feel like they didn't look exactly like how I would picture a rust monster.
Look like what I would say is maybe even like a fucking scorpion type thing. Yeah, this rust monster on D&D Beyond does not look like it. That looks way more like evil. But I thought, I was like, that has to be something. They wouldn't just show these two fucking things getting it.
But they had a lot of Easter eggs,
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think that's great for people to appreciate. And also just, yeah, I thought it was a fun story. So I
Well,
enjoyed
maybe
it.
it'll have a, you know, coming and streaming and something to get it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's Wizard of the Coast, Hasbro, like Hasbro owns Wizard of the Coast. They have a lot of money. They might want to keep this franchise
Yeah.
going. So they
And this.
really did, like, they went hard with it too. Like they made like character sheets that you can use for the characters. They wrote a book about the druid girl. So there's like extra lore and stuff. So they tried to like go hard.
Okay. Yeah,
Yeah.
maybe Maybe because obviously live action is going to be more expensive. They did a live action with it, which the fucking, like, I thought the special effects were fucking awesome. Like, turning into the owlbear, I'm like, that looks
good.
Yeah. At no point was I thinking, like, oh, that's just way out of place or like tearing or anything like that. But I don't know. Maybe it'll do well enough and they may think they put an animated form. You know, if something like you said, that Vox Machina has been such a success, it's showing, hey, this is there. You know, I know they had a built-in audience of D&D and Critical Role, but with something like this, like you talked about, it's Wizards of the Coast, you know, assuming they're going to still stay popular, you know, and other things, you know, that could happen. Yeah, it could be an animated route.
I hope to see more, like, of this stuff. I think they did it was a good start. It wasn't, like, overly cringe. It you know, like, the old Dungeons & Dragons movie from, like, the 80s or 90s that's, like, really bad.
Oh, my God, the Jeremy Irons one.
Yeah, where they're, Jeremy, like, playing Irons, the game. Oh. And, yeah, I've never watched it. I've just heard bad things about it. But, yeah, this is a whole different take.
We should have watched that one.
Yeah.
You know what? In the future.
Yeah.
In the future. You're gonna come on, and you, me, and Lucy are gonna talk about that fucking movie.
Oh my gosh, we'll just rip apart this.
You
really
haven't seen
old
it though.
No,
oh my
I haven't.
God. I like that even more that you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'll absolutely watch it to talk about it. And
okay, the next time a big D&D thing goes down, we're set. We're getting that set right there. Perfect.
Definitely.
All right, that's gonna do it. Thank you so much for coming on. It is super enlightening talk. I know so much now.
Yay. I hope you've learned some things about D&D. I hope you're ready to play in a new campaign, Brett. Let's go. No, I'm just kidding.
That's the thing. I've told people, like, I would love to do it. Well, actually, now that I'm just a fucking teacher, I could. When I was a coach, I couldn't fucking do it. That's what kind of screwed me up in doing the other campaigns. But something like that is just, yeah, like a mini campaign is something, yes, I've always wanted to at least be a part of, or at least run, like a four fucking session thing. To do, yeah, to get it, like, with a month of something. So
yeah,
but no, one shots, anything like that, I'm fucking down. I love it. If anybody out there hasn't, you know, ever done it, it is something maybe in the Discord we can kind of get up for people that haven't put it together. I don't know, I say that and then I forget a bunch of stuff that comes out. It's the summer, and like I said, my second tequila's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. But again, thank you so much for your time. Go ahead, tell us where we can find you.
You can find me anywhere at Miss Magitech, usually. So Twitter, it's Miss_Magitech. Same thing for Instagram. But on Twitch, I'm actually now Magi RPG. So I used to be Miss Magitech. And again, I changed to Magi RPG because that's really all I do now. We stream, me and my friends stream D&D. We stream Vampire the Masquerade. We stream Cyberpunk. We play all sorts of tabletop games at twitch.tv/MagiRPG. So always happy to see people and talk more about D&D stuff. It fuels me. So
you got a lot of people involved in there. Y'all got games,
yes,
going all the time.
We do. It's become a full thing now. It's like, it's not just me running games all the time. Like, all my friends are like, yeah, I want to run a game. So it's like, do it. So we have a ton of people on there now. It's a full production.
Yeah, that's when I noticed when I went on there, I was like, oh, Tracy's not even in this one.
Yep. Yeah. So it's now just like a huge collaborative thing, and it's really awesome.
Awesome. Well, y'all make sure to check out all those links in the show notes below. You can find us, again, check the links down there below as well, is where I'm at. I'm pretty much only on Twitch at this point. I've privated all the other stuff because, like, students found it, and I'm like, don't really need that to do in that sense there. So, but yeah, the best place to get a hold of me is definitely in our Discord. All right. So join me next week, as I will have another guest on to talk about something else.